We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, let's go out on the Swartz-Carlton guest line right now. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Swartz-Carlton at 800-JUSTICE. He covers the Eagles. Of course, Eagles with an OTA ongoing. Mr. Ruben Frank from NBC Sports Philadelphia on our own here at WIP. How you been, Rube?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Rube.
What's going on?
Football season, Rube. It's coming. We're excited.
4 months? I mean, it's 4 months away. Opening days, less than 4 months. You got to be fired up.
Got to be fired up. All right, Ruben, let's get to it. So today's a closed media session, but yesterday certainly was not. You had your chance to get your eyes on Carson Wentz. What did you see of the 2019 Carson Wentz, at least at this stage? What stood out to you of him?
Yeah, you know, I think it was interesting. Everybody was just kind of studying him and every move he made, just looking for some sign of him, you know, favoring something or limping or just kind of not bad. You know, he looked really fluid. I thought he ran well. He looked comfortable. You know, you don't want to get carried away on day one of OTAs in May, but yeah. So far so good. I thought he threw the ball, you know, exceptionally well. Obviously, you know, no pads and all that, but he threw the ball well. He looked mobile. He looked comfortable. He just looked normal. He just looked like Carson Wentz. And, you know, I mean, considering we didn't know until the last couple of days whether he'd even be out there, it's, gosh, I mean, for him to have the entire spring, all the OTAs and the workouts and all of training camp, as opposed to last year when he was just still rehabbing. I mean, he's just so far ahead of where he was. And it's got to be encouraging if you're an Eagles fan where Carson Wentz is and how he looks.
I agree with you, Ruben. And I found his public comments, both the press conference yesterday and his interview with Angelo today, he sounds like he's in a good frame of mind. Is that kind of how you read it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been – it's really been a two-year ordeal for him. So I think he's been through it wasn't easy to sit there and watch his best friend win a Super Bowl. I think that's something that, you know, he really had to come to terms with. It wasn't easy for him to go through it again last year. You know, the stuff he said about diet, nutrition, and sleep, and really kind of learning to take care of himself and not just try to stay – Try not to get injured, but try to just live a healthier lifestyle. I thought that was really important.
And, yes.
You know, I mean, you can never eliminate the chance of an injury, but you can take better care of yourself and lower the risk, certainly. And the healthier you are, the better chance you have. So he looks different. I thought he looked a little more wiry, less muscular. He talked about, you know, focusing on stretching and flexibility as opposed to just lifting all the time, and it shows. I mean, he looked good. It's a different build, and, you know, obviously you still need some muscle to get through the season and be strong, you know, through presumably 16, 17, 18 weeks. But I thought he looked good, and he looked quick. I mean, we watched him run a couple times, and, you know, you kind of forget just how athletic he is and how much he can run. It's definitely an encouraging. It's only one step, but it's an encouraging one.
It's all very exciting. Also exciting, this receiver core with the new additions. What really stuck out to you when you watched those guys catch the ball?
Well, Alshon wasn't there. Nelly had a bad drop in the end zone, so, you know, we were getting on his case. Mm-hmm. I thought the tight ends had a great day. I was thinking a lot about Goddard watching him, and, you know, I think we have to stop thinking of Goddard as Ertz's backup. I mean, Goddard is a weapon in his own right. And I know you asked about wide receivers. I'm talking about tight ends, but he really jumped out of me. He made a catch on a jump ball in the end zone that he went up and just skied over everybody, all the D-backs, and brought it in and went in for a touchdown. And, you know, he can be a top 10, top 12 tight end in the league, regardless of Zach Ertz. I mean, Zach Ertz is one of the best going, but I don't think we should look at Dallas Goedert as a backup. We got to look at him as a weapon in his own right because he really is a big one.
Wow.
You know, some of the, I mean, wide receivers, I mean, it's just disappointing that Mac Hollins isn't out there still. I mean, it's been over a year since his surgery, so I'm not sure what's going on with him. But it's going to be, you know, behind Alshon, Nelly, Deshaun, and Arcega Whiteside, you know, there's not a lot of reps left, so I think it's potentially the best group of wide receivers they've ever had. I mean, when you think about the speed, possession guys, slot guys, versatile guys. Deshaun looks as fast as ever.
Yeah,
it was just kind of weird to see him out there. You know, it's been a while.
Sure.
It was good to see him out there, and you know, he's a grown man now. He looks different, and but he's still quick, still fast. Arcega Whiteside made a couple of nice catches. He's going to be certainly an interesting guy to watch. I think in the red zone, if he is what they think he is, he's going to be quite a weapon down by the goal line too.
Did you notice Charles Johnson at all? I think he's wearing 3 for us. He's a guy who...
DJ's back. Hard to believe. Torrance Small is next.
That's what I said yesterday.
Yeah. He's an interesting guy. You know, he's not a kid. He's 30.
He's 30. I thought he was the next big thing in the NFL back in 2014, and then things happened. He had injuries. Other guys emerged, and he sort of disappeared. But the guy is skilled, and he's fast, and he's big. And Mac Hollins not being there, I mean, this is a guy who could do what they were going to ask Mac Hollins to do. I just wondered if he flashed it all yesterday.
Yeah, he made a couple catches. He did stand out, and you're going to see that. That's, I mean, when you have an older veteran who's been around, and he's been in training camps, and he knows all the tricks. I mean, he's going to be a guy that stands out in a mini camp because he knows how to play the game. I don't know how much special teams a 30-year-old cat can play. And
I think he will. I think he wants
to. He's gonna have
to. He did when he was in Minnesota. This is the kind of guy everyone's got to keep an eye on him because
I agree.
I think he's got a real chance.
I mean, he had a couple of seasons where he was productive for the Vikings. So, you know, he can play. You know, it's just a matter of numbers. And they have a lot of bodies. And then they have Shelton Gibson. And, you know, they have the kid from Ohio State. Braxton Miller, who's an intriguing guy.
I agree.
You know, great athlete. You know, has really good size. So there's quite a collection of legs. I mean, wide receiver is going to be so competitive when camp starts and the pads go on.
Awesome.
It's going to be a really fun position to watch because they got some talent.
Reuben Frank with us here on WIP. Reuben, let's go to the running backs. Jordan Howard, a lot of production early, first year with Chicago, less so the last 2 years. How good a player do you think he is? I mean, is he going to be just a guy that's rotational for the Eagles, or is he the main guy in the backfield for the Birds?
I think Miles Sanders is going to be the main guy.
Wow.
And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, they didn't draft him to back up Jordan Howard. And I mean, Jordan Howard's a nice piece. I think what you're going to see, and then we always talk about running back by committee, but Doug doesn't really like running back by committee. That's just kind of a code word for we don't really have a guy. You know, so we're going to try Josh Adams. We're going to try Wendell Smallwood. We're going to try all these guys. If he has a guy, that guy's going to get the ball 15, 16 times a game. And I think Jordan Howard is going to be the clear number two behind Miles Sanders. I think Miles is going to be a real weapon.
What's the first word?
Now, that's interesting, Reuben. I had not heard that either.
Why is it that he didn't practice yesterday?
We never got an answer. I don't know. I mean, hopefully by September he's okay. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. We talked to Doug before practice, and he doesn't give any injury info. So if a guy's not practicing, we won't find out why until next week, which is, you know, not ideal. But, you know, in the long run, I mean, I'm just speculating here, but I don't think they drafted him to split carries with Jordan Howard. I think Jordan Howard, he's going to be a free agent. I think he'll have a role. You know, I think he'll play on third downs, but you know, if you look at it, like they always end up with even number of carries between the running backs at the end of the year, but you know, there's not a lot of games where like each guy gets 7 carries. You don't see that kind of rotation.
Yeah.
You know, they tried to make Darren Sproles. Doug loves Darren Sproles. He tried to make him the lead back. He tried to make Josh Adams the lead back in the middle of the season. He was getting 13, 15, 16 carries a game. And Smallwood wasn't playing. And then Smallwood was the guy, and he was getting 12 to 15 carries. So I think they've been searching really since Shady left. Let's be honest. I mean, Ryan Matthews, DeMarco Murray, and all these guys,
they've
been searching for a lead running back since Shady went to Buffalo, since Chip got rid of him. And I think they have him, Miles Sanders. And I don't think they brought a talent like that in to share work with Jordan Howard. I think it'll be a clear number one, number two back situation.
What's the Corey Clement injury situation looking like, and was he on the field practicing?
He was on the field, on the side field with the trainers, with some of the other guys who were hurt, so he's out there. I saw Corey at the NBC telethon, and he said he was doing great, that he wouldn't be at OTAs, but he said he was feeling really good, and He's kind of on schedule. I think by the start of training camp, you'll see him 100%. But they're just, you know, they're taking it slow with a lot of guys right now who they think don't need the work. And, you know, Corey's a guy. We know what Corey can do. I mean, he's going to be the third back.
Rue, let me ask you, though. What happened last year? Like, what do you think? Because he was so much less effective. And I'm such a huge fan. There was even a game where he was activated. We didn't know if he'd play, activated, but didn't get on the field. It seemed he was
activated. That was in case of a he was only going to play in case of an emergency.
So, Ruben, was his lack of production when playing because he was going through injury even at that time? What did you make of it?
Yeah, and he didn't want to use it as an excuse, but I think he was clearly not healthy. I mean, we didn't see the same guy that we saw in 17. I had really high expectations of Corey coming off the stretch run, really the playoffs and obviously the Super Bowl. But, he just never looked right. And, you know, I think he's a really talented kid. I mean, as a receiver, I mean, I watched that play in the back of the end zone, the touchdown, you know, the disputed one. I don't know how he caught that ball. I mean, he looked like there's wide receivers that don't catch that ball.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the long run to set up the Philly special, I mean, the long catch and run, those are big-time plays that, you know, I mean, those are big-time plays. And I think potentially, you know, I don't know exactly what role he'll carve out, but if he's healthy, and I think and I hope he is, I think there's definitely a role for him.
Do you think that they've given up on Big V as a tackle?
I hope so. I think, and he's, you know,
I heard he was playing guard.
He was playing guard, and you know, like you look at a guy like Jermaine Mayberry, who was kind of a bust as a tackle and became a Pro Bowl guard. It can happen. I mean, he doesn't have the normal guard build, but you know, I mean, they won a Super Bowl with him at left tackle, and I'm not sure what happened. I think he lost some confidence last year. He was clearly not the same guy. Maylott is obviously ahead of him as a tackle, and you have Dillard, and you have Lane, and you have Peter, so there's nowhere to put Big V. I would think if they could get any kind of draft pick for him, they would, but you may as well. He's not going to play tackle. I mean, he'd be the fifth tackle. You don't keep five tackles, so you try him at guard. Maybe, you know, he can be an emergency guard, or maybe, although with Wiz back, I just don't know if there's a spot for him. It's amazing. He's going to go down as an asterisk. I mean, who played left tackle in the Super Bowl for the Eagles? And, you know, he's going to be long gone, and we're going to be trying to remember what that guy's name was.
That's incredible. It's
a crazy story because he played really well down the stretch in 17, but it just wasn't there last year.
Rube, what about the defense? You think they're strong enough defensively?
Yeah, I worry about defensive end. You know, they lost their two best pass rushers, and you know, Chris and Bennett.
Yeah.
And you know, I love Vinnie Curry. He's the nicest kid I've ever met, but I mean, he hasn't produced. He had one real good year, and you know, BG is BG. He'll give you everything he has. I think Derek Barnett's really the key to that whole group. I saw a lot of good things from him when he did play, but he just hasn't played a whole lot. And, you know, defensive end is usually a position that takes young guys a little bit of time to click. Mm-hmm. I think he's got to be a double-digit sack guy, though, because you lose Bennett and you lose Chris Long. I mean, that's a lot of pass rush that you're losing. And I don't think Vinnie Curry is going to make up a whole lot of it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll have 10 sacks. But, you know, they're thin there. And, you hope a guy like Josh Sweat, who was a fourth-round pick, can make an impact, but he's never played. We haven't really seen him. So that's my big concern. I think everywhere else they've got pretty good depth. I really like their young DBs. I know a lot of people are down on them, but I really like this group of young cornerbacks and, you know, Rasul and I think Sidney Jones, who made a couple of nice plays yesterday. I think he's going to be a player. I think people have been too hard on him. He's 20. He just turned 22. And, you know, he really had a redshirt year and then got hurt last year. Obviously, he's got to stay healthy, but I love Maddox. I really like Rasul Douglas. And Trey Sullivan showed a lot down the stretch, just improved so much. So did Quavon LeBlanc. I think that whole group of guys has so much potential. They can run. They're physical. They're enthusiastic. They're hard workers. And I think, you know, with Malcolm – kind of being the, you know, the Boy Scout leader of that whole group, I think they have a chance to be a really, really good secondary.
Well, Rube, it's interesting you bring that up. Let's one more thing here. This is great intel from you. Joe Douglas, the whole thing flared up in New York a week ago. It seemed to be quiet now. He's still considered a leading candidate here nationally. What do you hear? What are you hearing, if anything, about where this situation's at? I mean, because he found a lot of those defensive backs. He's part of that. Those guys that filled in last year and got their feet on the ground and actually performed by the end of the season. Where do you think this Joe Douglas thing's at?
Yeah, I think there's still a pretty good chance he goes up to New York. I think the world of Joe, and I'm such a big fan of his, and I don't think it'll be catastrophic if he leaves, because I think he's hired really good. I mean, he and Howie have hired really good people, you know, Anthony Patch and Andrew Wiedel. You know, they're kind of running they're the next guys in. You know, you don't hear much about them, but the scouting department's in really good shape. I think the biggest thing Howie kind of learned in that sabbatical year in 2015 was just that he's got to surround himself with good people, and that he has, you know, he has holes in his game, and he can't be everything, and he's done that, and they have good scouts, and they have good, you know, regional scouts and good people. And
well, don't they go with him though? Doesn't Andy White go with Joe Douglas if he takes that job as GM?
We'll see. I mean, there's other rumors around about other guys, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, and so I don't know. I mean, we're just speculating. It's possible. But, you know, from people I talk to out of the organization, think that the Eagles have pretty good depth in scouting. I mean, they're going to miss Joe Douglas. There's no two ways about it. But I don't think it would be, you know, I don't think the whole thing's going to fall to pieces. I think they've created kind of a place where people want to work, and Howie understands now that he needs good people around him, and they seem to hire good people now. And so I think scouting's in a good place, but I mean, there's no two ways about it. They would miss Joe Douglas if he leaves. Yeah.
Ruben, awesome stuff. Thanks so much for hopping on the program. We look forward to talking to you as the season moves along. Thanks, Rube.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
Thanks, right, Rube.
There he is from NBC Sports Philadelphia, and of course our own here at WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.